Ons gesels vandag met Johan Ferreira. Hy is dokter in sielkunde. Baie welkom, Johan.
Baie dankie.
Johan, jy sien baie mense. Nou kom mense met groot pyn, hartseer, uitdagings na jou toe. Is identiteit ook ter sprake in van hulle probleme en goed waarmee hulle sit?
Ja, ons sien die afgelope tyd baie meer 'n direkte benadering van mense wat gesprekke oor hulle identiteit wil hê. Ek dink ons is maar almal deur 'n geweldige uitdagende 'n paar jaar wat vir ons verhelder het dat ons lewens moontlik nie heeltemal so mooi uitwerk as wat ons gedink het dit sou wees nie. En mense wat wonder en dink oor hulle toekoms en oor wat hulle graag met hulle lewe wil doen, sal dan baie direk kom vra, maar wie is ek nou eintlik? Waartoe is my lewe op pad? Hoe pas ek in die lewe in? En daai vraag speel alles dan vir ons terug na wat hulle oor hulle self glo. So ons almal het mos nou maar pyn en teleurstelling in ons lewe. So as jy nie jou pyn en jou teleurstelling effektief verwerk nie, dan gaan jy in 'n vermydingspatroon in. So jy leer vir jouself gedrag aan en denkpatrone aan wat jy natuurlik uiteindelik glo dit is wie jy is, maar wat jy eintlik doen is jy probeer die pyn vermy. En dit word dan nou eintlik die blou druk, die manier wat jy jouself projekteer aan die wêreld, en dit verhoed jou dan nou eintlik om volledig te kan ontwikkel, om eintlik uit te kom by wat vir jou nou optimale potensiaal sal wees. Vermyding van sekere aspekte van ons lewe lei maar net na vermyding toe, dit lei nie na ontwikkeling toe nie.
Ja, 'n boodskap wat ek mee groot geword en wat ek baie hoor is dat jy kan kies wie jy wil wees. Jy skep jou eie identiteit self.
Ja, dit is 'n redelike moderne neiging om die gedagte by mense te laat ontstaan dat ons eintlik die reg het en dat ons eintlik moet sê wie ons wil wees. Wat 'n baie lekker positiewe manier is van dink, wanneer ons na gedrag kyk of wanneer ons na emosies kyk. As jy egter nou hierdie beginsel begin toepas op wie is ek, dan sien ons dat dit geweldige interne spanning en angs en eintlik depressie veroorsaak, want die verantwoordelikheid waarmee die individu dan leef om hierdie storie nou eerstens uit te dink en dan om nou die goed bymekaar te hou, is 'n redelike oorweldigende konteks wat individue dan nou vir hulle self skep. En daarom sien ons nou dat mense dan nou sekere van hulle identiteitseienskappe nou minimaliseer. Hulle sal een of twee kies wat nou eintlik die definieerders van hulle lewe word. So dis of hulle kultuur, of hulle geslag, of hulle intellek, en dan verarm hulle eintlik die res van hulle identiteit redelik baie en kommunikeer primêr deur hierdie kern wat hulle nou vir hulle self skep. Waar as gelowiges nooi God ons natuurlik nou na ander pad. Meer na pad van dat jou identiteit is reeds geskep deur God. Dis nie vir hom intimiderend nie, hy voel nie oorweldig deur die kompleksiteit van wat hy gemaak het nie. En dit verlaag dan jou angs, dit bring 'n stuk vrede. Wanneer jy nou ontdek dat jy genooi word om eintlik die pad saam met hom te stap. Dis nou nie 'n geskenk wat vir jou gegee word nie. Dis 'n pad, dis 'n ontdekkingstog na waar ek dan nou kan vind wie ek is. En dan nou in die proses jou verhouding met God ook beter leer ken.
Ja. Johannes, daar 'n paar praktiese maniere waarna jy kan dink hoe hierdie wandel met die Here jou kan help. Hoe jy daai identiteit kan ontdek.
Ja. Die eerste ding wat ek persoonlik dink kardinaal primêr tot alles lees, dat jy maar eers moet begin om vir jouself uit te werk wie God is. Hoe lyk God se karakter? Ek dink is baie moeilik om enige iemand of enige iets te vertrou, jou iets so belangrik soos jou identiteit toe te vertrou aan iemand wat jy nie ken nie, of iemand wat jy oor twyfel, of iemand wat jy onsekerhede oor het. Dit gebeur dit ons met kinders wat in swak verhoudings met hulle ouers staan, waar hulle nie hulle ouers se opinies en counsel wil vertrou nie, want hulle het seer gekry. So om hierdie pad met God te stap, dink ek moet begin deur dat jy moet vir jouself uitwerk wie hy is, en dan moet jy besef dat dit 'n proses is. Jy gaan ergens moet begin, en dan gaan jy moet aanhou, en dan gaan jy moet verwerk dit wat jy by hom leer. En dan om te verstaan dat daar nie net maklike antwoorde lê nie. Daar's nie net bevryding en genot en vrede wat plaasvind nie. Daar lê geweldige uitdagings. Maar die verantwoordelikheid lê dan nie meer by jou nie.
Ja. Het jy in jou reis, Johan, 'n aha oomblik gehad? Raak na jou eie identiteit en die ontdekking van dit.
Dit het veel later in my lewe ook natuurlik nou gebeur dat ek net besef het dat die dele van my identiteit wat ek geskep het, op grond van mense se verwagtinge van my, op mense se opinies van my, het nie eintlik vir my positiewe resultate gebring nie. Dit het my eintlik vasgehou, dit het my eintlik beperk. Dit het gemaak dat ek eintlik in reaksie leef op dit wat mense van my dink, versus dit wat God van my dink. En dit het nogal 'n groot skuif gebring in die aanvaarding en die ontdekking dat daar eintlik iets anders is as gebroke mense se opinies van my en my eie gebroke opinie.
Ja, het dit so 'n bietjie guts gevat om op te staan en te sê, maar dit is eintlik net dit te begin leef?
Dit doen vir meeste mense wat uiteindelik by daai plek uitkom, verg 'n stuk waagmoed, en 'n stuk selfvertroue wat mens maar as 'n geskenk van God af ontvang. Deur te sê, jy doen hierdie saam met my, jy doen nie eintlik hierdie saam met iemand anders of jou eie nie.
Johan, baie dankie, daar's soveel om oor te gesels. Baie dankie vir jou bydrae. Let's read together from Revelations chapter 2. Are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words, the spirit blowing through the churches. I'll give the sacred manna to every conqueror. I'll also give a clear, smooth stone inscribed with his new name, your secret name. I was in the airport with a friend some time ago, and somebody came with his passport. And he opened it up with his photo, and he started talking to us. We couldn't understand what he was saying, and he pointed to his photo, pointed to his face, and then asked us something. We couldn't help him. He left, and we wondered, what was that about? And he went around doing it with other people. Same reaction. And my friend had a few ideas, but it's not worth mentioning. What I thought was that he was looking for himself. He went through some sort of trauma, and now he's wondering, is this me? We all do that in life. We are searching for ourselves. Who am I really? That's what our identity is all about. How do I think and feel about myself? Is it determined by what I do? By what I have? What other people think of me? Is it my job to create my identity? Christ taught a lot about self-knowledge. And if we can sum up his teaching on it, I might say there's a lot of ideas about it, but here's an idea that I resonate with. Your identity is like an onion, except that we have a core, and an onion doesn't have a core. Our identity is layered. And through Christ's teaching, he invited people to the core, to think about themselves, first of all, as children of God, being made in the image of God. And then there's that first layer that has to do with our essence. There's something unique. We are all children of God. There, we're the same. But when it comes to our makeup, our essence, and that's what we carry with us wherever we go, and that's the type of things that just happen wherever we go. We can't help it. It has to do with one of the names of God. And according to one teaching, there's 99 beautiful names of God. Some of us are, for instance, more supportive. We will accompany people, come alongside people to assist them. Some of us are just full of compassion. Some of us are very wise. Whatever it is, that's your essence. And then you've got a gift. There's something unique that you can do. And then you've got a passion that will determine where you can do it. And you've got a personality that will determine how you do it. The other layers of your identity could be your ethnicity, your race. It can be your socioeconomic status, your sex, your gender, your sexual orientation, your religion, abilities that you have, anything that you attach to, that you really value, can determine your identity. Now, it's very important that we'll be authentic. Haven't you heard it? But what does it mean? Authentic what? Some of us feel that I'm very authentic because this is what is at the core of my identity. In a sense, you are authentic to what you chose to be. But are you authentic to the way that God created you? And that was the invitation of Jesus, to become that. We cannot create our identity. We can actually only discover our identity. And that's what make us different than all the animals or anything else in creation. We can make that decision. Now, Rabbi Susia, famous old rabbi, one morning, bewildered, running into his quarters with his students, told them, "I couldn't sleep. I know exactly what God's going to ask us when we see him face to face." And the student said, what's he going to ask? He said, he's going to ask us, why weren't you more like Moses who led the Israelites out of the slavery in Egypt? He's not going to ask us, why weren't you more like Joshua that took them into the promised land? He's going to ask us, why weren't you more you? Because only you can be you. Never has anybody been like you, created like you. There's no double. And see, here's the tragedy. If you don't discover yourself, embrace your true, authentic self, how God made you, you're not going to live your life. And that's perhaps one of the big reasons of the loneliness and the emptiness that we experience in life. We're not connected to ourselves. We're connected to an idea of ourselves. And it's a tragedy. That's why Thomas Merton says, there's only one problem on which all my existence, my peace and my happiness depend: to discover myself in discovering God. And if I find him, I will find myself. And if I find my true self, I will find Him. So here's the invitation. Just three things. The first one is to let go. Listen to the words of Paul. You know my pedigree. So you can tell now what's important to him. My pedigree is important, you know. Where I come from. A legitimate birth, circumcised on the eighth day. I'm a man. I belong to a certain religion. You know, that's important. I'm an Israelite. Now we're starting ethnicity, you know, culture. The elite tribe of Benjamin. This is my tribe that I'm from. A strict and devout adherent to God's law, my religion, a fiercely defender of the purity of my religion. I had a lot of passion, and I was very successful at what I do, even to the point of persecuting the church. A meticulous observer of everything set down in God's law, morality. I lived a clean, good, high morals. That's how I lived. Yes, all these things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. And why? Because of Christ. So he's actually talking about his conversion. You know, the word conversion in the Greek, metanoia, actually means to change your mind. And this is what he said happened. I thought all these things are important because that's the world that I lived in. And people honored me. They thought I was somebody very important through this. That's where my identity, that's where I found my identity. Now I changed my mind. I don't value that stuff anymore. So it's so important to come in touch with your identity. What lies at the core of your identity. And actually you know it most of the times when you meet somebody within 10 minutes, they would start talking about what's important to them, who they are. And in our culture, a lot of times it has to do with what are you doing? What position do you have? You know, but that's not your true identity. There's a difference between your assumed identity and your operational identity as well. So here's the question. How does the onion of your identity look like? Do you know? We can only ask God to reveal it to us, to show it to us. We must hear, this is who you are. The next thing is to receive it. I will give him the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows except the one who receives it. So, you receive it. You don't create it. It comes through a relationship with God. I will give him manna. That's heavenly bread. I will speak to him. And in that relationship, it will become clear. It would be revealed. It's like John's journey. John says in John chapter 1, verse 23 in the message, I'm thunder in the desert. My job is to prepare the way for the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Look at those three things. I'm thunder in the desert. That's the general revelation of God. And that has, it's nature. I looked at nature and I saw the thunder and it resonated. And I thought, but that's just like me. Uncommon, you know, surprised if you get to do with me. And then if I look at my experience, wherever I go, I just take away all the obstacles in people's way so that they can connect with God. And it's just as the prophet Isaiah said, when I read scripture, it resonated with me. And I realized, but this is who I am. It's a journey with God, the general, the special, and the personal revelation of God. It will be revealed to you. Now, usually when you start seeing things, You're not necessarily excited about it. It becomes a battle, you know, like Jacob. He battled with the angel. And his name was changed from Jacob, trickster, to Israel, Prince of God. Your name in Bible times would be your identity. It would be your essence. This is who you are. And he couldn't accept it at first. And that's most of our stories. You've got to overcome. You've got to fight that battle, accept it. And it doesn't have to be something big. You know, if you read who the heroes of faith are in Hebrews chapter 11, some of them just got a child. That's all that they did in their life. But that was what they were supposed to do with their lives. Live your life. Accept it, whoever you are. Then live it. Paul says, in a word, what I'm saying is grow up. Your kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. First of all, you grow with your identity. As a child, you identify completely with your body. You are your body. You are your hunger. There's no differentiation until about 18 months, where you receive a language, a mother tongue, and you can experience yourself as a separate person. The I, the me comes into being. Your identity shift, the gravity point of your life shifts. And that process, what happens there right through your life. And every time you go through a passage of life, every time your life changes, there's a shift in identity, in the onion of life. Sometimes you don't change the core, but you reintegrate the different layers of your identity in your life. And it's an ongoing process. But as your identity changes, live with integrity. So authenticity is to be true to yourself. Integrity is to act according to who you are. Don't go around with a photo of yourself, of a copy of yourself, and tell people, this is who I am. Accept who you are and live according to it. That in that way, you will hear the call of God. You'll step into what He wants you to do with your life. Just a few examples to close with. I had a friend who decided to change her work because she felt that what I'm doing is not who I really am. It doesn't align with who I am. And after being the leader, the manager of a lab, studied 7 years, started from the beginning and changed her whole life and career to be more in line with who she is. And the guy didn't change his work. He was a manager at work, but he changed the way that he managed people. He couldn't do it the way he was educated, because it wasn't him. So he connected with his essence, and from his essence, developed a way in which he could accompany people, assisting them in their work so that they can grow and do their work better. And he's extremely successful in what he's doing. Another person shifted the core of his identity. His sexual orientation lied at the core of his identity. And he looked at the effect of his life, and he looked at how small his life has become. And through time, it shifted, and he realized that my relationship with Christ should actually be at the core of who I am and how I live. It shifted, and his whole life changed. So where are you today? Perhaps you've got to establish that core Don't we all have to? We all have to. Romans 8:16 says that the Holy Spirit speaks to us and tells us deep in our hearts we are the children of God. We should hear that voice clearly, often, because we drift. Your identity is not something set. It's in flux. It flows. And we've got to hear it, establish it. I'm a child of God above everything else. And then you've been given a work. You've been given an essence. Paul says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given. And then sink yourself into that. And don't compare yourself with others. Be yourself. Be authentic. Live with integrity. But discover who you are. And you'll discover what your life is all about and what you should do with your life. Perhaps you're at a place where you realize I'm sitting with a lot of attachments. And I've got to let go. I want to let go like Paul. I'm going to exchange all these values for one dominant value, Christ in my life. You can, if you want to, get a white stone and live with it for a while. Keep it close. Put it next to your Bible. And you can write on it if your name becomes clear to you. If you can hear what God is calling you and by what name He's calling you, you can write that name. I went through such an exercise with a few guys a few years ago. And the other day I saw one of the guys and he says, I still haven't got a name written on my stone yet, but I'm living with it. And it's becoming aspects of my life. It's becoming more clearer to me. If you have that desire, ask God to give you of the manna, heavenly bread, and to give you your name so it can become clear to you who you are, how God made you, and how you can live your life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the life that you've given us. And thank you for the uniqueness that each one of us has. Thank you for our essence, our gifts, our personality. Help us to accept it, to see it, and to have the courage to live it, to live from it, to live with integrity. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you. Amen.